says, well, I think I got it, but it sounds so weird. And I said, yes, the mind cannot conceive of what's going on. And it's wonderful to see when people first experience that. Oh, praise God.
Also, I need to say that our God is a word God. And he operates on words. World was created by words. He calls his son the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He left us the printed word. But now here we're dealing not just with the logos here, but we're going to be talking about in some of the scriptures we give in this message about the wonderful rhema that can come to our hearts.
That's right.
And that comes more easily to you when you have a heavenly language.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the one, by the way, that prays through you. It's not something you make up. It's not something that you're going to translate. If there's to be an interpretation, that's not a translation because it's an unknown tongue,
that's
as the Bible says.
And you might ask, well, why do we need this baptism of Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit anyway? And we see in the Word that, especially in the Old Testament, Darren, the only way that God could bring a message to his people were through the prophets, the anointed men of God, which were very few sometimes. In fact, in Isaiah's day, there was only Isaiah. And then in Elijah's day, he said, there's only me. And God says, no, there's 5,000. Were there 5,000 more?
A few hundred, anyway.
5,000 more prophets left who did not bow to Baal. And then along came Jesus, and some people say, well, isn't Jesus enough? Isn't the name of Jesus enough? And in Jesus' time, when he walked the earth, the people had to come to him to receive. And, of course, there are a couple instances where when the centurion came to him, he said, yes, the sick one is healed, and many miles away he was healed. But we see that, but we still didn't have that real ministry that God had intended for the people to be in them. And in the Old Testament and when Jesus walking, the people didn't have that anointing. Only special people had the anointing.
Well, let's say it this way. If you didn't get to, in Old Testament times, if you didn't get to a prophet, the voice of God was not evidence on the earth. You couldn't get a word from God. You couldn't get a word of knowledge as we can get today. When Jesus was on the earth, one reason they thronged him, he was the only one that you could get divine, supernatural healing from.
Yes.
And if you didn't find Jesus, you know, on the lakeshore, you didn't find him along the road or in the synagogue teaching, you didn't get that marvelous supernatural touch from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said to his disciples just before he left, he says, it's good that I go away, because I'm going to send you a comforter who will always be with you, teach you things to come, and lead you into all truth. He was talking about this precious Holy Spirit that we're talking about here in the book of Acts.
God.
Now, the wonderful miracle here about Holy Spirit is we can have those persons that have invited him to anoint their lives all over the world. So we don't have to go and find that one temple or that one synagogue or that one person.
Special place.
Special place. That can be any place, any language, any race of people on any continent.
God.
We can have the Holy Spirit.
We know that, Darren, he has come to encourage and strengthen and establish, because that's what he did.
But let's go back to this, Barbara. Let's talk about Jesus just for a minute. When he was the Son of God, he was not yet anointed by Holy Spirit as he was growing up until he was 30 years old. He wasn't anointed to do miracles, to perform miracles. Today, we desperately need miracles in our society.
Oh, we do.
We got so many wacky things going on. We need not only direction from God, but we need to see miracles. We need to see the power of God suspend the laws of nature. It may be the laws of disease. It may be the laws of economics. It may be weather. But we need to be powerful people to stand up and be counted in a miracle sort of way.
And we see that in Peter's sermon in Caesarea, in Acts 10:38, Darren, we see where Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Son of God, how he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. This very Son of God had to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that after he was anointed, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Hallelujah! Praise God for this deliverance.
Now, why didn't give a percentage there? Why didn't say every other one?
Yeah.
Because they were all healed.
That's right. They were all that came to him. And that he wants that for us, Darren. He wants us to be, and how much more we need to be anointed. I mean, if he was anointed, how much more we do by Holy Spirit. But he wants us all to be ministers. He has called us all to be ministers who are in him.
He didn't say just on the last Sunday night of the month we'll have a healing service, did he?
Or no, or just people in the western part of Europe or only
right.
the certain race of people will receive this baptism.
Only the white people or only the black people.
That's right.
It didn't say that.
It is to everyone.
It's to everyone.
Everyone. Even upon, it says, the bond slaves in Joel 2:28. So we know that while Peter was speaking here in Acts 10, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening. And now sometimes they laid hands on them and they received, but here, just his message, his anointed message, dropped on all of them. And the gift of Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles, too. This was kind of amazing to the Jews because now the Gentiles were receiving Holy Spirit. And this gift is number 1100. It's glossa. And this is a singular noun. Now, this when it's in a plural noun, like in Acts 2, this means that it's a known language of the people. But this word 1100, glossa, it's a singular noun, and it means these languages are foreign to the speaker. He has never learned them, and they're supernaturally given to them, enabling him to speak.
Well, and he speaks at that time in the result as a result of the baptism of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So this relationship, this person of Holy Spirit that comes upon us, that becomes that special friend, we can pray, and we're going to find out a little bit later here that we can pray, and he can deliver things to us that have been freely given to us we didn't even know we had.
That's right.
He can explain the mysteries. And by the way, in 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, we're stewards of the mysteries. Well, how could that be? How can you get the mysteries out of the mind of God without a vehicle of Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, you can't.
That's right. And I find so many times, like just the other day, this is off the subject for a little minute, but the other day I was wanting to cook some asparagus. And instead of doing it the conventional way on the stove, I found this little steamer that my daughter had given to me a couple years ago. And I decided to fill the bottom with water. It was from Tupperware. It's a wonderful little gadget. And I put it in the microwave for 7 minutes. It did exactly the same thing to the asparagus that I would have had for a half an hour. Why didn't I use it before? Because I hadn't thought of it. So many people, Darren, they're lacking this baptism, this rich anointing on their lives to help them through all kinds of things that are going on in their lives, and they won't receive him. They won't just ask and take it. It's phenomenal to
me. Well, you know, part of that's pride, part of it's fear, because there's been some teaching. And you know, why wouldn't Satan want to keep us out of this teaching?
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you something. He'll fight you like crazy to keep you away from the baptism of the Spirit. Because when you have the anointing, as it says in Acts 10:38, you will have the anointing on your life to remove burdens from people and destroy the yoke.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't he fight that?
Oh, and so he's there, available to us who believe.
Holy Spirit is.
Yes, he is there, available to us, if we only ask and reach out for him, earnestly desire him.
Well, let me read this out of Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul, finding some disciples in the city of Ephesus, asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Mm. And so Paul led them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, which is true. He was a forerunner of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He baptized people in water and said, repent.
That's right.
Which was a brand new concept on the earth. But then telling the people to believe in him, capital H, meaning Jesus, who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking with tongues. That's number 1100 again. That's glossa, and prophesying, number 4395 in the Strong's Concordance, to declare truth through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, literally means a pouring forth.
Yes, prophesying, which is in a known tongue, which people understand. When you prophesy in the church, you're pouring forth the revelations of Holy Spirit. I was just thinking here, you know, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, but Jesus is coming with power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with power, or Holy Spirit is coming with power. And I was thinking back of that scripture in Matthew 3 about how John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Now this is Matthew 3, 11 and 12. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean or clear the threshing floor, he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Darren, Holy Spirit, when he comes, and we're going to find out in Romans 8 here in this